For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back into the Tide Talk podcast. Stacy Blackwood with Jake Thomas. Jake, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. Man, I just want to shout you out for a minute, man. That weekly little this week in Tide Talk, man, that's a great idea. Really good call there, brother.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. Surprisingly, it's went over really well, and I appreciate the support we got for that, and that's something we're going to continue to do. And you know, we got some feedback on it, you know, maybe dropping some snippets from the previous podcast in there, and that is certainly something we can do. So we'll continue to work on that to improve that, and so we appreciate the support and the feedback so far, and it's went really well. So that is something we're going to continue to do, but let's move on with this podcast. Pretty busy show. A lot that's going on right now. Of course, just to kind of recap what happened this last week before we get into the Scott Cochran thing, the men's basketball team did get a big win against Ole Miss Saturday. And then they took a heartbreaking loss to Mississippi State. I think it was Tuesday night of this week. So they went 1-1 over the last two. That's not really surprising if we're being honest. And the injury bug just continues to hurt this Alabama basketball team. John Petty goes down early in that game. He'd already made 2 3-pointers in the first 9 minutes of the game. So, anybody that watches Alabama and watches John Petty, you know, if he starts a game out 2 for 3, it's probably going to be a long day for the opposing team. And we were going to need that type of performance from John Petty to get that road win. And but give the team credit. They hung in there. They fought hard. Herb Jones, he fouled out with several minutes to go in the game. And the team still just kept fighting and battling. And they were shorthanded and just fell short against Mississippi State, who is a good team, who has a chance to make the tournament. And truthfully, Alabama still has a chance to make the tournament. Their hopes are not dead yet. So win out and maybe get a win in the SEC tournament, and you're right back in there with a chance to make the tournament. So we'll just see what happens with them. We'll talk a little bit more about the South Carolina game here in a minute. But kind of rewinding a little bit what's happened, of course, the softball team, that we did mention how they had a good weekend. In our this week in Tide Talk, they were able to secure last weekend. They were able to secure wins against Wichita State, Penn State on two different occasions, and Louisville on two different occasions. So they went 5-0 last weekend to improve their record to 9-5, and they seem like they're really starting to find their way after the kind of slow start this season.
Yeah, what was impressive in the last three wins there against Louisville, Penn State, and again Louisville again, we ended it early. The first Louisville game, we won 9-0. It was a 5-inning game. The Penn State, we won 14-6, 6-inning game. And then again Louisville again, 10-0 in a 5-inning game. Now, I don't know how good Louisville is in softball. I don't keep up with them. But, I mean, when you shut out, you know, a team – twice in the same tournament or in the same day, pretty much. Well, actually, one of them was Saturday, the other one was Sunday, but still, it's really impressive. So I think they're on the upswing, and we don't need to cry wolf yet, because I knew the first couple of games were just a fluke. This team's a whole lot better than that. That has come out of the gate a little slow, but they're getting their feet underneath them now.
Yeah, I mean, they got 3 shutouts out of 5 games over last weekend, so that's impressive. Regardless of who you're playing, it's hard to shut out anybody. And the midweek game this week was canceled. They were supposed to play UAB, and UAB was talking something about the weather, but I think they just chickened out. But that's that's for another discussion. So the softball is back on track. They're hosting the Easton Crimson Classic this weekend in Tuscaloosa. So there's a lot of games going on. Arizona's going to be in town, and Alabama will actually face Arizona Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Time. So that's a big-time matchup. So if anybody's going to be in T-Town this weekend like myself, try to make it to that 4 p.m. game against Arizona. That's going to be a big-time game. And earlier that day, they actually play UT Arlington. And they play Arizona twice, excuse me.
They do.
Yeah, they play Arizona Friday night as well. So if you can make it Friday night, it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's a big tournament they're hosting this weekend. A lot of things are going on this weekend in Tuscaloosa, as we're going to continue to talk about. But that's a little bit about the softball team at this moment in time. Like I said, they after the kind of slow start, they're back on track. They're 9-5 right now with plenty of opportunity ahead. So like Jake said, don't give up on the softball team yet.
Yeah,
and kind of staying with the ladies, we need to brag on our women's basketball team.
Oh yeah.
Last week when we had Hunter on, he kind of talked about how this team just it's kind of a strange team. They seem to have really good athletes, but they just can't seem to get over that hump. And the last two games on the road against top 12 teams, they've come away with victories. That they beat Mississippi State on Sunday. Was it Sunday, wasn't it?
I believe so. Mm-hmm.
And then tonight they got the upset at Texas A&M. So two huge road wins for Christy Curry and the girls basketball team, and we're really proud of those girls. And they have a chance to finish with a 500 record and in SEC play with a win this Sunday against I believe it's Missouri. So they finish the season. Like I said, the regular season this Sunday inside of Coleman Coliseum against Missouri, and this is an opportunity to finish with a 500 record for the first time in the Christy Curry era. So she's finished 7-9 on two different occasions, and so this is a good opportunity for her to have a 500 record in SEC play. So. So make sure you're there to root on the women's team as they play this Sunday against Missouri, and I believe it is it's an afternoon game, maybe 1:30 or 2:30. I'm trying to pull it up real quick. It's 12:40 p.m. So Sunday around lunchtime, but they host Missouri to try to get to that 500 record overall. So. Make sure you continue to support the ladies' basketball team. Anything you want to add on them real quick, Jake?
I've been really impressed with them. We talked before, looking at their schedule this year and the games they played in, I don't think they've been, blown out by anybody. They've been close in every game. That's including the South Carolina game. I think South Carolina won, 93-78, but they was in that game. Pretty much all game until I think late in the fourth quarter. And, but I mean, they've been there. They just could not make shots there late, kind of like the men's team, to make a shot late to get them over the hump. But these last two games have been great for them. On another positive note, man, what about the baseball team? I mean, Coach Bohannon, I mean, we brag about him all the time, but man, he's done an outstanding job. And this team, yes, it is really young. Let's see how they do in SEC play. But right now, the future for Alabama baseball is bright.
Oh, there's no question about it. Like Jake mentioned, they're undefeated still. They're 9-0 with, of course, the weekend sweep against UNLV. Then they got a win against UT Martin on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, they actually fell behind pretty, I think, in the first inning of that game, 3-0 or something along those lines. And they were able to come back and get the victory Wednesday, 12-6 over Middle Tennessee State. So really proud of this team that they got a weekend series at home coming up this weekend against Harvard. So like I said, we've talked about Gump's Giving this weekend because there's – just a million things athletically going on right now at the University of Alabama. So that's just one of them. That, like I said, they got a 3-game series with Harvard. Friday's game is at 3. Harvard is at 2, or Saturday's game is at 2, and then Sunday they play at 10:30 in the morning to kind of accommodate the softball team that'll have another game. So like I said, if you're going to be in Tuscaloosa this weekend, make sure you try to make as much as go to as many of these events as you possibly can. Like I mentioned, my wife and myself, we're going to be down there this weekend to celebrate our anniversary. So we're going to drive down Friday night or Friday evening when she gets off work. And we'll be staying in there Friday night. So we'll be down there all day Saturday. We're going to spend the night Saturday night, and then we'll come back sometime Sunday. So we're going to be down there. So make sure you hit me up on Twitter. And maybe we can meet up and just kind of put a face to a voice so y'all can see me. I love to meet as many of y'all as I can down there. So hopefully we can make that happen. So like I said, big weekend in Tuscaloosa and a big weekend for the baseball team. And I don't know what else to say about this baseball team. They just have something. They have an edge about them. And like Jake mentioned, we know things are going to be a little different when it comes to SEC time. But, I mean, going undefeated, winning your first 9 games regardless of your opponent, that's pretty impressive. Yeah. So shout out to the baseball team and Brad Bohannon. They're doing a great job. And, you know, really, it's just a couple weeks away before SEC play starts. So we'll get to find out about this team.
Yeah, and I want to make the comment that I've seen on Twitter today that some people said that the baseball team's having their, you know, is winning all these games, and one of our best players, TJ Reeves, he's really come out cold to start the season. So once he gets going and the guys can stay, you know, healthy and stay, you know, hitting like they have been, man, it's going to be a good year, I believe. I think Hunter mentioned around the 12 to 15 range on wins in the SEC. And I think we could truly get to that, and we can get back to SEC tournament again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. I think that the young pitching staff is something to look out for, you know, because SEC batters are no joke. So it's going to be hard for them to. I mean, they've pitched really well early on, so. That is something to watch out for. But the way guys are – the offense is what's been incredible. I mean, I'm looking at the – right now the team average is 316 – batting average is 316.
Wow.
The team slugging percentage is 549. The on-base percentage is 408. So, I mean, they're getting on base. And, you know, they got some guys that can play multiple positions, and we talked about that. You know, guys like Brett Auerbach, he's played multiple positions so far this season. So is Peyton Wilson. So it's just a team that's capable of doing a multitude of things. And Sam Prater has played outstanding. He's hit a few bombs this season so far. Of course, so is the Canadian Hammer, Owen Diodati. So, I mean, it's just there's some power in the lineup. There's some good average. We talked about Brett Auerbach. He's hit 4 bombs, and he's not even a big guy. So it's just this team is really impressed me both at the plate and on the mound in the season so far. And like Jake mentioned, and, you know, like Hunter mentioned, this team has a chance to make some noise in SEC play and hopefully can make it to the SEC tournament and, you know, get into the NCAA tournament. So we'll just see what happens. A long ways from now, there's a lot of baseball season to go, so but just to continue to support the team, and Brad Bohannon is turning this thing around.
Oh, definitely.
We do have a few questions from Twitter, and we want to, and one of them we're gonna kind of lead into what one of the questions was by talking about this first. Of course, the biggest news of this week has been the departure of Scott Cochran to be the special teams coordinator at Georgia. And before we even really talk about it, Jake, what was your initial reaction to the news?
You know, I was I don't want to say I was shocked, because, you know, a couple of years ago when Kirby did leave, there was rumors that Cochran was going to leave then, but I believe Saban gave him pretty much an extension, gave him a little bit more pay, and he stayed. But there's always been talk that Cochran's wife and Kirby's wife been best friends for years, so I kind of had a feeling on down the road he might leave. But as a special teams coordinator, he's a good good strength and conditioning coach, but we'll see how his special teams is next year.
Yeah, my initial reaction was, well, crap, that sucks. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. if I'm being honest, and he's been a mainstay and a main factor in Alabama's success over the last, 13 years.
Yeah,
which is crazy to think about, 13 years. But he has done a fantastic job. But now, I mean, he works for the enemy, so he is now the enemy. And exactly. You know, I tweeted that from my personal account earlier in the week, and I was not expecting the amount of reaction that come from that.
It blew up.
It did. It absolutely blew up. I'm looking up at it now, and it had 533 likes and 34 retweets and countless replies.
Yeah,
and really everybody agreed with me except for one douchebag. he said I'm also old school, and that was completely classless what you said. And I'm thinking, get a life, dude. It's freaking I think I wrote back something like, this is football. We're talking about football. We're not talking about the Salvation Army. I mean, good grief. It's people take themselves way too seriously. I mean, life is far too short a thing to take seriously.
Right. And there's some former players like Marquise Mays who made the comment that this is going to hurt the program in the long run. And I retweeted his reply about that. I was like, the next Saban die? Because, I mean, yeah, Cochran's been there for, like you said, 13 years, and he's been one of the main cause of the machine. But let's not forget, Nick Saban is still Nick Saban. I mean, he is the reason Alabama has had success in football this past 13 years. Let's not forget that, number one.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I don't understand what – look, one thing is that Cochran had that personality that was just loud. And everybody across the country knows who Scott Cochran is. So that's one reason that it's been overplayed and overhyped of how big of a deal it is. Look, this is not going to be the first time that Nick Saban's ever hired a strength and conditioning coach.
Right.
So, I mean, let's be real about that. And so that's just how I feel about it. It's not the end of the world. There's plenty of good strength and conditioning coaches out there. So let's be real.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you is who, of course, we see about Aaron Feld, you know, his name's been in the bucket for a while, but I'm going to give you a guy who would be an under the radar, but would be a great hire if Vic could come to fruition, because there's nobody talking about him. But I had a conversation with somebody about him the other day, and that's Alex Spanos from Northwestern. You know, if we fall on Aaron Feld, we can't get him to come back home. That guy right there might be a good one as well.
The name that I'm hearing now that's a really strong possibility is somebody that's got a lot of years of experience, and it's kind of somebody that nobody would think about. It's Chris Dawson, who's the director of strength and conditioning at Kansas State. He is, he has actually been their director of strength and conditioning since 2010. Mm-hmm. Before that, he was the strength coach at Kansas. And before that, he was a strength coach at Missouri. He's worked in the XFL. He played at Oklahoma. He was a linebacker there in the mid 90s. That's somebody to look out for, and I'm hearing some good things about him from some sources. So that is a name to look out for. Of course, one of the first names that popped up was Aaron Feld because of his connection. He was a volunteer strength coach at Alabama the 2013-2014 season before he went to be the head strength coach at North Alabama. And then he was the assistant director of strength and conditioning at Georgia before taking the head football strength conditioning coordinating job at Oregon a couple of years ago. So, do what now?
And that mustache.
And that incredible mustache that's like a foot wide. But so those are some names to watch out for. But right now I'm being told that Chris Dawson is somebody that is a legitimate contender for this spot. That'd so that's just somebody to look out for. And you know he can develop players because they get a bunch of 1 and 2 stars, and then by the time they're seniors, they got a really good football team with a bunch of big strong guys. So
yeah.
That is a very interesting name. So we'll just kind of see how that plays out. But losing Cochran is a problem, but it's not a major problem, and it's not something that Alabama can't overcome. So let's don't overstate it, and let's don't understate it. But but like I said, now he's the enemy, and yeah. Not only did he go to a team that is a rival, but he goes to a team that we play this year in the third game of the season. So. You know, kind of screw you, Scott Cochran. I mean, the reason Nick Saban hadn't put you as a position coach, as an on-the-field coach, is because he don't think you can do it. He thinks your best ticket is to be the strength and conditioning coach. So, you know, he called that out when when Sal Sunsery wanted to be a defensive coordinator and that didn't work out for him. It's because he's a position coach. Not everybody's capable of being, what they want to be. So, I mean, I wish I could say I wish Scott Cochran the best, but I don't.
Right.
As a person, I hope everything goes all right for him. But coaching wise, I mean, I hope, like I said, I hope Jalen Waddle gets a couple returns on him.
Yeah.
I hope they shank a few field goals. So we'll see. We know how good they are at faking punts. So we'll see if that's how improved that is.
Yep.
Oh, but anyway, back to our we had a couple questions on Twitter, and before we get to the one that we're going to talk about, I do want to respectfully deny to answer the one from Jeff, and his let me get his Twitter handles at JeffJ1111. And he asked us about the 2020 offensive line, how good can it be, the depth, some of the new faces, will we be able to, run the ball effectively with all the talent we have in the backfield, will the pass protection need to be better without Tua's, real quick release and questions like that. And it's not that we don't want to answer right now, it's just that we want to wait and answer that in a few weeks. Or a couple weeks, really, because spring practice starts in a couple weeks, and we can kind of see some of those faces. The one thing I do want to say as far as what the offensive line may look like, I don't have any sources. I'm just – my opinion, the big freshman that was at left guard this year.
Evan Neal.
Sorry. Thank you, Jake. I had a brain fart. I think his position is offensive tackle, and I can see Alabama shifting him out to right tackle with the loss of Jedrick Wills to the NFL draft. So looking to fill that left guard position, somebody like Emil Ekior who has experience, maybe Chris Owens slides back into center and Landon Dickerson moves back to guard. There's a lot of options. There's a lot of talent. So I wouldn't worry about the offensive line just as a quick answer right now. But we can tell you a little bit more about the depth and kind of what the face of that offensive line is going to look like, once we have a few practices in spring practice this year.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm not going to go off too far in it too, but I just made a comment that the offensive line, got better each and every game. And if we start out slow, I have no doubts they'll get better. Every game they play this coming up year.
Yeah, and he did mention something about the pass protection. I thought the pass protection was fine last year. I thought our offensive line was as good as anybody else's in the country at the end of last season. So I don't know if maybe he has a different opinion on that, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the pass protection from last year. So, and really we're just losing Jedrick. So, I think the offensive line is going to be just fine in 2020.
I agree. But
before we go, we want to touch on the Bama Hoops game, because that's, to me, that's right now, because they're still fighting for that tournament spot. That's the biggest thing going on right now. Jake, just kind of, what do you think about this game Saturday, and how do you feel about the tournament chances?
You know, I feel good about Saturday. I don't know if anything's been leaked or anything. I've not seen anything about John Petty. I don't know how serious his is. But, you know, this team is, you know, they're just a couple shots away, like we said before. But getting South Carolina at home, I think, really helps. I think they're going to come out. Of course, the student section and the fans, it's going to be loud at Coleman Saturday night. I know you're going to be down there, so. I know you're probably Sunday, you're going to be hoarse on the way back home, but and then, you know, we end the season, the regular season, on Tuesday against Vandy. That should be a win. And then the tournament, depending on seeding, where we get to, you know, I think we need to win at least one or two in the tournament to solidify our chances. But it all starts Saturday. We've got to win Saturday, and we got to win Tuesday, and then get in the tournament and win a couple of those, and to have a chance.
Yeah, I definitely think Saturday is a winnable game. I would feel much better if John Petty is available. Yeah. And like I think the last I saw was that he was doubtful. But, you know, basketball is one of those things. It can change last minute, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him, and it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play. So we'll just kind of – wait and see. But even without him, I think we have a good chance of beating South Carolina. Like Jake mentioned, we got a very winnable game against Vanderbilt on the 3rd, which I think is Wednesday of next week. And then, of course, they finished Tuesday. They finished the regular season next Saturday at Missouri. So, really, all the last three games are very winnable. South Carolina is playing well right now. Missouri's playing well right now. Vanderbilt's better than they were. They're still not – you know, very good. But so all these games are winnable. If you win those games, you finished 18-13 overall, which is not terrible for a team that's, you know, been hit with the injury bug as bad as Alabama has this season. And then you also finished 10-8 in a really good basketball conference. So you would be finishing above 500 in a good basketball conference. You got 18 wins, and you still have some games to play in your conference tournament. So The Alabama is still very much alive when it comes to the NCAA tournament. I think I've seen where KenPom still gives them like a 75-76% chance of making the tournament. So it's not completely out of the question. So don't give up on them yet. Coleman Coliseum needs to be completely packed out on Saturday night. Make it tough on South Carolina, and come away with a win and get the first of these of this 3-game winning streak to end the regular season going.
Oh, definitely. That would get us, I believe, it'd be 10-8, maybe 9-8, something like that in the, you know, in the bracket. And looking at it, we could fall anywhere between, looks like, 5th and 10th seeding-wise. So, you know, it's all depends on how we finish the season. And the better your seeding is, pretty much easier opponents you're going to get in tournament time, which will make it easier to win them two games. But talking about KenPom, I think our chances jump up to like 90% if we at least get 19 wins. So, I mean, that's a goal, you know, that what we need to shoot for is 19 to 20 wins. I believe 20.
Yeah,
20
to 20 wins, I mean, and we're always the optimistic about this team. Like I said, they're 15-13 right now with three regular season games to go. So you win those games, you're sitting at 18-13, 10-8 in conference play. And I imagine if they're 10-8, they're going to be somewhere around the 6th or 7th seed in the SEC tournament, maybe even 5th, depending on what happens around the league. And if you get that, you probably miss out on having to play Kentucky the second day of the tournament. So that seems to be Alabama's. They seem to always play well in that first round of the SEC tournament, and then they always play Kentucky. So, and you know, Kentucky's probably going to make the final every year in the SEC tournament, or just about every year. So it's just kind of, they've always kind of had that bad draw. So hopefully they can avoid that this year and you know, get to 19 or 20 wins. If they get to 19 wins, I feel pretty good about it. If they get to 20, I don't think there's any doubt that they make the tournament. So, let's just hold on. Let's hold on our hope and just keep getting wins and pushing through, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I understand. You know, I had some discussion with people about it. I said, you know, they just say, I'm just constantly frustrated by the basketball team. Well, yeah, I understand your frustrations, but one, for me, I'm not frustrated because I know how good this team is going to be in the future with Nate Oates. I mean, like, and I try to tell them, I said, we have – four of our best players sitting on the bench with injuries or NCAA, you know, not getting a waiver from the NCAA. I mean, so next year they're going to be back along with Keon Ambrose, along with maybe either Petty or Kyra, maybe both will come back with Herb Jones. And if Davis continues improving like he has, I know he had a pretty terrible game the other night, but he's shown improvement. So, and of course, Reese should be back as well. So, I mean, the future next year, I mean, I keep saying next year, but man, I'm just excited about the basketball team because, I mean, like I said, the future is bright under Nate Oates. I mean, we already see what he's done with this team in 1 year. And man, I'm just ecstatic about it.
Yeah, you're 100% correct, Jake. And I try to tell myself that if Avery Johnson was coaching this exact team with the exact circumstances, that we would probably be like, I don't know, maybe have 10 wins right now. So we're very fortunate to have Oates. I think I have no doubt that he's going to get the job done. He's just had extreme bad luck this season. And I hate to say luck because, but I'm sorry, luck exists. Whether people want to admit it or not, and of course you have these people who are so self-righteous that say, well, you make your own luck. Bullshit. No, you don't. luck has nothing to do. You know what it is when you have two different players tear their ACL before the season start? It's called bad freaking luck.
It is.
I mean, it's just bad luck. I'm sorry. So
none of your fault.
It's nobody's fault. It just happens, and it's bad luck. And I'm sorry, if we had James Rojas and Juwan Gary, good grief. Good grief, this team would be good. And not even to mention JQ, mm-hmm. who the NCAA just inexcusably denied his waiver. I don't get it, and we've talked about it 1,000 times. I think we talk about it every podcast, but it just pisses me off. I mean, it's it's just been bad luck. Of course, we haven't even mentioned that Herb played several games now with a freaking club on his hand. Yeah. He's missed a ton of practice time. Alex Reese has missed a ton of practice time because of his hip. He's going to have hip surgery this offseason. So, I mean, just now Petty's out. It's just been a string of bad luck when it comes to injuries for this team. So it's just so people that are self-righteous saying, well, there's no such thing as luck, get over yourself. Don't be a prick. Alabama's had bad luck this season. If you don't believe me, just look at the injury report from this season.
And one more thing about the NCAA, you know, waivers thing. You know, now they come out this just recently that everybody is going to get a immediate waiver. Of course, a year too late, you know, for JQ. It's ridiculous.
Well, screw the NCAA. That's all I got to say.
Exactly, me too.
But anyway, I think that's all we got for tonight, people. We do appreciate y'all listening to us. And like I said, my wife and myself are going to be in Tuscaloosa this weekend, so make sure you hit us up. Just, you know, DM me on Twitter or at me on Twitter, whatever you need to do. Mention me, whatever you need to do. I'd love to meet some of y'all. But before we go, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Blackwood89.
And I'm at Jake Thomas Tide.
And, of course, follow our podcast Twitter feed at TideTalk_pod. Make sure you, you know, when however you listen to us, you give us a good review and you subscribe to us there so you don't miss anything. Like we've done this week and like we mentioned at the very beginning of the podcast, we do have a new kind of series, I guess you can say, that we're going to be doing. It's going to be a weekly edition. It's just going to be, you know, probably 8 to 12 minutes long each week. It's called This Week on Tide Talk, where we kind of recap the last episode and what's happened, and then kind of give you a little bit of something to look forward to on the future podcast. So make sure you listen to all that and subscribe to us and follow us and tweet at us. And we just really appreciate all the support. It's been a lot of fun doing this, and it just keeps getting better and better. So we appreciate the support. We'll talk to y'all again in a few days. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.